Hi, I'm Brenda Burns, and this is the Vienna Assembly of God Sermons Podcast. Thank you for listening. It's an honor to share this time with you. Learn more about the ministries of Vienna Assembly of God at viennaag.com. Please leave your comments and reviews on the platform where you're listening. And now for today's message. Happy, happy Palm Sunday to you. Hosanna in the highest to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. As we embark on this Passion Week, our theme today is Jesus desires. And I have one hope, literally, for each of us today. And that is that we are convinced that the passion of Christ, the suffering, the sacrifice, the surrender that he lived through, culminating in his crucifixion, that is the apex of Jesus' desire for you. He passionately, fervently, ardently desires to pour out his love in each of us. We are growing closer to Jesus through this Lent season as we get to know him better by highlighting snippets of his life in the Gospels. So far, we have seen Jesus delivers, calling out even from a distance to set us free. Jesus deploys, announcing the kingdom of God is near, the place where what God wants to happen actually happens. And we are a part of that. And he has authorized and deployed us to go and share the good news. Jesus disrupts. Nothing stays the same once Jesus comes on the scene. He disrupts, cutting through the shallow layers of hypocrisy and getting straight to the core of the issue. Jesus destroys. He demonstrated through the acted parables of clearing the temple and cursing the fig tree that hypocrisy and falsehood have to be destroyed in order to make way for God's purposes to flourish. The text we are reading today capture places where Jesus expresses desire. Each of them take place during Passion Week. He opens the window on what he is feeling. We use the phrase Passion Week to define the days between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Passion is a feeling, an emotion, and it is helpful to realize that Jesus, as fully God and fully human, was holistic, and he had emotions. We learned last year in the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course that it is crucial for us to be willing to explore our feelings. The Scazzeros call it exploring the iceberg, because so often our feelings are beneath the surface, similar to the reality of an iceberg where you only see 10% of it, but 90% of it is hidden under the surface. We often struggle to identify our emotions. If someone asks you, "What do you feel?" we may begin our answer with, "I think." We move more easily into the intellectual realm than the emotional. And sometimes that comes from a notion that it's somehow more spiritual to suppress our feelings and emotions. I want to encourage you today to understand that God created us as whole beings, including our emotions. And growing in our relationship with God will require a deeper self-knowledge, because that then allows us to open up more to God And Jesus, and as in everything else, he is our model. Jesus had emotions. Jesus had desires. And we are going to look at some of the places where he expressed them. So the first passage I'm going to read is in Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned and desolate, for I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This moment takes place on one of the days that Jesus had spent in the temple. We've talked about this, how he was coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, staying in Bethany during the nighttime, but every day back into the city. And there's all kinds of activities. Well, he had been in the temple on this day, teaching the crowds, responding to questions from the religious rulers, answering the disciples' questions. Earlier in this chapter, he had expressed a list of woes to the religious rulers. And when we think about that, it's literally a brokenhearted declaration of the results of their resistance to believe. And now he pauses. And he makes this cry, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather your children together. He is expressing a heart cry, a desire, a wish to embrace, to express love, to nurture, to protect, to bring them under his wing for safety. Such a deep desire. And then he says, but you wouldn't let me. I hear the ache in his voice, the longing in his heart, the desire in his soul. A few days later, it is time for Passover. I've actually selected a reading from each of the Gospels from this week. So this is in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. This is an instance where Jesus is telling them specifically, as you walk in to Jerusalem, you will meet this person. And it happens. That there are several of these instances that happened, such as when Jesus said, go down and put your line in the water and you'll catch a fish. And that fish will happen to have a coin in its mouth, and take that coin to pay our temple tax. So Jesus just had this kind of perceptive insight and was able to, and he would share that every now and then with the disciples. But then they're there. They have prepared the meal. It all happened. And then verse 14, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you. Some translations read, I have eagerly desired. This is Jesus expressing a longing in his heart. He wanted to eat this Passover meal with his disciples before his suffering began. He had feelings of anticipation, of looking forward to this moment, and also feelings of dread, knowing the suffering to come. He had emotions of love, friendship, companionship. And he said that he wouldn't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What is this meal's meaning? The bread, he told us, is his body given for us. The wine is the new covenant in his blood, our redemption. The Passover celebrated the great deliverance, the exodus, the setting free of God's people from slavery. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He has set us free from the curse of sin, and now we are his redeemed people, welcomed into the kingdom of God. This Passover meal, he said, he eagerly desired to eat it with his disciples. This is the reality of the longing of Jesus. He was whole and had desires, and he desired to eat this with them. And then we know that he also said, do this in remembrance of me. He desired to give us that image of that night as well, so that we could enter into this moment with him and to understand his longings. After the meal, John records many of the things that Jesus said that night, including a prayer in John 17. And I'm going to read just a few of the things that he said in that prayer. John 17, beginning at verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Stop the presses a minute. For all who will ever believe in me through their message. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, not only did he take bread, not only did he take the cup, but he also prayed. And he was praying not only for the disciples that were there, but he was praying for you. He was praying for me. He was praying for all of those who will believe through the message that has come forth from there. So what did he pray? I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. I think it's amazing to think about what were the overwhelming desires that were showing up in Jesus on this night. His desire was to be with his disciples. And then in this prayer, his desire is pouring out for everyone that is going to believe to be one, to know how much the Father loves them, to experience perfect unity. It can be a reality check for us, but do you realize that Jesus Christ himself has experienced what it is to have unanswered prayer? Because there is the reality that we are living in right now that Christians, people that love Jesus and have received him as their Savior, are in disagreement with one another. There isn't perfect unity yet, but I invite you to join with Jesus in agreement. Pray in agreement with Jesus for that unity that he desires in his heart to come about. Can you do that with me? Let's trust God for that. But then the fact that he said, I desire these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Jesus desires to be with you. I love that that's the way Rachel started this service, because that is the fact. He desires being together with us. Jesus' desire is for you. He longs to bring back into the safety of his arms all of us who have wandered astray. He wants us to be together with him, to know his love, to experience the Father's love. He deeply desires this throughout this Passion Week. He saw beyond the moment and beyond the horizon. He kept talking about what's going to happen when the kingdom of God is fulfilled. He saw all peoples, all nations, and he longed for the fulfillment of the promises of the kingdom of God. He is full of emotion for you. His love is overpowering, and he desires to share it with you, with me, with everyone. Jesus led the disciples to a favorite garden. Now listen to all the emotions Jesus expresses in these verses. Mark chapter 14. They went, verse 32, I apologize. Mark 14, 32. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus desires. In this moment of crushing agony, distress, and grief, he expresses his anguish to the Father. He says, "Please let this cup pass." His fully human self was crying out to God. His fully God self was crying out to the Father. And yet, his desire was for the Father's will to be done. His desire was to see the fulfillment of the kingdom. He had spent the week continually talking about the glory to come, the future joy of unity, the hope that the world will believe that the Father has sent him, and that by believing they would be saved. His desire is for us to know how much he desires relationship with us. So in the garden, he laid down himself. He poured out his emotions and feelings and desires and surrendered to the will of the Father. As we go through this week, preparing to celebrate Easter together next Sunday, please remember every day, Jesus' desire is for you. Allow yourself to bask in that emotion. Let your heart break for the suffering that Jesus endured for us. Let your soul rejoice in the redemption that his sacrifice brought to us, and let your desire and passion for Jesus be inflamed and deepened. I began this message by saying I have one hope for us today, that we are convinced how much Jesus passionately, fervently, ardently desires to pour out his love in each of us. That's what I want you to meditate on this week. Be convinced at your very core that Jesus' desire is for you, that he's passionate about you. That is what we commemorate and celebrate each year during Lent. And as you meditate on his passionate love for you, I pray that your devotion and love for Jesus grow and overtake all other passions, all other loves. He is the desire of our heart. Let's pray. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. But I pray that I will grow in that love, that I will open that place in my heart that wants to look away when I think about your suffering, when I think about the passion that you went through, and let it deepen my commitment to you. Let it strengthen me when the enemy tries to say, I'm not loved. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I am your child. I pray that understanding the fact that you desire so much to gather us into your arms would be like a magnet that would draw us to yourself. And I pray that that love would overflow in us in such a way that others would be drawn to know you and believe that God has sent you to us. Thank you for desiring us, for loving us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I'll be in touch this week. I do invite you to just be meditative during this Passion Week on the love of Jesus for you. And we will see you next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, rejoicing in our Lord together. I love you. Talk to you then.
If you enjoyed today's message, why not share it with a friend? I invite you to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and our YouTube channel. We'd love to hear your feedback and comments. So glad that you were with us today. Look forward to seeing you next week. At Vienna Assembly of God, we love God, others, and life, and we're leading our community in a growing relationship with God.